Hey, welcome to Election Day. Yes, this is Todd, and really one of my favorite days in life happened on an election day. I used to be a reporter. I used to be a political investigative reporter. I was on the number one show in the state of Arizona, and I was also one of the two people that Clear Channel would send as a rapid response to breaking news. We would get deployed out to that location and then report back on the details and then sit in on other talk shows around the country as the crew that's there to bring it home for you, which is a real honor. And on election day in the year of 2000, gosh, feels like so long ago. In the year of 2000, on election day, we did election coverage in the evening. We were the evening crew that sat up late and brought the news and information to the Phoenix metropolitan area on KFYI, News Talk 550 KFYI. That's my radio voice, right? And so we would sit up at night, we'd bring the latest details, we would have all of the congressional delegation, the mayor and the governor check in, we'd have McCain come and give us commentary, and this was like a regular occurrence. I think I did two or three elections, and leading up to it, we would do debates for the gubernatorial debates, which is the governor debates, and I also covered presidential debates. And in the year 2000, the reason this is significant, and I draw a lot of reference in my life off of Election Day 2000, is our boss told us, hey, fellas, stay on the air until the president is selected. And we were like, all right, seems pretty reasonable. And so at 2 a.m, we called her and we said, hey, this isn't going to wrap up tonight. We woke her up. This isn't going to wrap up tonight. And they're saying it's going to be a couple of days. Well, 2 days after the election, I went out to MSNBC and Fox News to pitch a TV show. And the TV show that I had developed over the years, and I went there and pitched at MSNBC, and it went fabulous. And then I pitched at, I know CNN picked it up. I went, but this on this trip, I went after MSNBC to the Fox News channel. And I walked in to the front door of Fox, and I got a phone call that was the head of their network, Bill Schein. And Bill Schein said, hey, Todd, I'm sorry, but because of the presidential election being undecided, I've got to cancel our meeting today. And then instantly, I'm like at the door. Like I could touch the door is how close I am to the front door of Fox News Network. And instantly, I saw my wife's face in my mind's eye, and I pictured myself telling her that I flew home without getting the meeting. And we were broke back then, like dirt broke. So me having to scrounge up a couple $1,000s on a radio salary was a big deal. And I had to tell him, absolutely not. Absolutely not, man. I'm at your door right now. I'm walking in the door. He said, well, Todd, I'm sorry, but I got to fly to Florida. I got to fly to Florida for the recount, Bush v. Gore, to figure out who the next president is. And I said, well, what about 15 minutes? And he said, I've only got five. So I walked in the door and I pitched to him my show concept. And have you ever sold anything to somebody where you know they're not with you in the conversation at all because they're about to bail out of the door? That was my scenario. But I pitched him, and 2 days later, Clear Channel were like, get your ass to Florida. You're covering the presidential recount in Florida, where I ran into Bill Schein again from there. And it was really interesting. It's one of those validating moments in my life where I went in and pitched somebody. And then we're now at a work event a couple days later where only a few very elite people are going to be. And there I am again, rubbing elbows. So I'm there in Florida as part of the Clear Channel team that's going to report back our studio space. I want to specifically spend a moment talking about the technology, because we all live in this world where we've got phones, cell phones, and we've got laptops and Wi-Fi. But in the year 2000, thank you, Conan O'Brien. In the year 2000, there wasn't all this Wi-Fi rolling around in the sky, and our phones couldn't do anything. I had a phone, and I could call on it and I could use it like a walkie-talkie, but that was it. And we didn't have a studio to broadcast because our studio got poached. Clear Channel sold it. So we had a box that we plugged into the hotel room telephone line, and we broadcasted every day out of the hotel room, La Quinta, and pretended that we were in a live studio, and we used the Weather Channel's digital clock to sync up with the clock back at Clear Channel headquarters. And we reported each and every day on the news. If we ever have a beer, please ask me to tell you that story. Fake news was fake news long before this presidency. Because when I was in Florida and before I left and I watched the national news, they would say, angry voters from Florida are at the state capitol trying to get their vote counted. And when we got there, ghost town. It was a ghost town. There was a massive disconnect between what was being reported on the news and what I experienced there. And it happened every day like that. We would walk around and there would be nobody out there. The news would tell you that it was Floridians that were upset. And what you would see is you'd get a press release that would tell you what time the next protest is. And then buses would pull up, drop off the protesters, and basically movie extras would come out of the buses. I kid you not. This has warped my view on American politics and made me want to get out of it altogether. But people would get off of the buses, 50 people out of like 15, 20 buses. And they would go out and protest right at the exact time that the press release said, spontaneous protesters from all over Florida embark on the Capitol to have their vote counted. And as an investigative reporter, we would always say to each other, we'd look at the press release. We spent like an hour just talking about the press release. Spontaneous protesters. But there ain't anybody here, and anything spontaneous doesn't happen with buses. This is weird. And then we started noticing that as the buses were pulling away, the license plates weren't from Florida. But the press release said spontaneous protesters from all over Florida have come to the Capitol to have their vote counted. So then we started asking people, how long did it take for you to get here to Florida? How long was the drive? Because we noticed the license plates were Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Mississippi. And people would say to us, oh, well, you know, we came from Alabama. It took X number of hours, and maybe we interviewed 50 people. Not a single person there in these spontaneous protests were from Florida. The news is deceptive by design. Be very cautious what you ingest when you're following the news. And I decided that I didn't like being the one that broke the narrative. I decided that's not a safe place for me to go and live my life. There's a better place for me to pursue my endeavors, and a place where I'm not always the Baby Ruth floating around in the punch bowl at some party, because I know that what's being told isn't accurate. I saw that regularly through my investigative reporter years. I saw a very high disregard for truth and facts, and I mostly saw a media echo chamber that was telling the same story, even if that story isn't accurate, all right? Well, hey, congratulations. It's election day. So let's see, I was there in Florida when the president was announced between Bush and Gore. I actually broke the news on Clear Channel 7 hours before CNN first reported that George W. Bush was going to be the next president. Let me tell you how this happened. This is a fun story. We actually, I think, explain it in an episode of the Toddcast, which is probably episode 50 or episode 100. I'd have to confirm that for you. Let me do that while I'm talking with you right now. Perfect. It happens in episode 100. All you have to do to get access to this full story is to go to wirebuzz.com/100. My on-air partner joins me, Charles Goyette. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He was my partner in crime, and really the wisdom and senior leadership that I needed in my life. And so you'll love that. It's a great interview if you want to know more about this. But you know, I have my superpower is developing friends, making friends. And it always has been. We were interviewing the Speaker of the House and the Senate President of Florida before we arrived in Florida. And I sent them some sweatshirts, some free sweatshirts that said, property of the Electoral College, Indecision 2000. Just a little gag gift. And we became friends, the Speaker of the House and the Senate President. So we interviewed them even on location when we got to Florida. We spent time with them. And then I, like a good investigative reporter, would regularly check in, see if I can get some good info. And both of them confirmed to me on the day when the president was going to be announced who the next president was going to be, George W. Bush. So we discussed it as a team, Charles and I, and we were scared because if we report this and we're wrong, that may be the end of our career. So we argued about it for an hour, and it wasn't pretty. But Charles is the wise one. I'm more impulsive. And in a team, you know, when you're investigating things, you know who's really going to be the one that's going to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So Charles said, call them both back and reconfirm. Make sure we don't, you know, let's just get it right. And so I called them both back. I was that annoying guy. I got them both to confirm. And then we sat in the La Quinta hotel room and again debated it out for an hour. So we had it 8 hours before CNN broke the news. 7 hours before CNN broke the news, we went live on Clear Channel. Now, I'm not trying to say, look, I'm a great reporter. I'm just saying there's scary stuff that happens. And when you're a reporter on location, you have to work your sources and figure it out. Now, fast forward about 2-3 weeks later, we were in D.C. for the presidential inauguration. We got a tour of the White House on the last day of the Clinton administration by the White House chief of press, Bob Weiner, and he gave us the full-on tour, which was friggin' awesome. And then that was also the day when the Clinton administration pried the W's off of the keyboards. Nobody ever questioned us about it, though we were in the White House while that was going down for real. And then we broadcasted on Inauguration Day for 9 live hours across the country and brought the latest news and information 9 live hours on Inauguration Day, giving the sights and sounds on radio. And we did it from the basement of, and I don't want to say basement, the lobby of the Watergate Hotel. That's where our studio was. And it was fabulous watching these dignitaries walk through the lobby. While we were there, there were like 2 or 3 living presidents that came through that lobby that morning. And we went to a bunch of inaugural balls and just had a really great, hard-working time covering the inauguration, the presidential recount, presidential debates. And I hope, well, one, I hope your candidate wins. I'm so politically agnostic at this point that I'm interested in the topic, but not enough to get worked up about it. But, you know, it's always fun when you get to see the sausage be made. Anyway, that's my story. Welcome to Election Day. May your best candidate win. And I'll root for you regardless. Peace.